Reviewing accommodation and the shortfalls in This work will be completed by the end of this year. And in terms of the infrastructure funds that have been allocated, more than 20% of the total allocation to institutions have been in the area of residences and new residences for institutions in order to deal with the shortfall, especially for institutions that have required upgrading of their current residences, as well as the provision of new residences for students. So there are a number of residences that will be coming online. Some of them have already opened this year. More will be opening in 2011 and an increased number in 2012. So that is something that can visibly be quantified and looked at. We also have, as part of the mandate of reviewing accommodation, is also to look at different models of accommodation and residences to cater for the different kinds of needs of our students within the different institutions. With regard to the upfront fees of NISPA, this has been communicated to the institutions last year, as well as with the beginning of this year, as well as with the meeting with the minister and the CISA. We have been monitoring the situation, even though this is controlled and falls within the ambit of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, but we have been requesting information from them to ensure that universities have been using this upfront facility in order to assist students who are financially needy. And our report indicates that this year has been far better than previous years in institutions' take-up of the upfront facility. So most institutions have been utilizing this, and this has been definitely a significant improvement on last year. With regard to funds that are allocated to universities, in the middle of the year, the end of June, all institutions provide us with their financial statements, which are quite detailed. This comes in just prior to the annual report submission. We also receive ongoing progress reports of earmarked funds that are allocated to our institutions, and feedback is provided, so we are constantly able to provide information on institutions that are not utilizing funds. We haven't had this as a problem, but it's monitored according to accounting standards against audited statements by the institution, and it's, we have an entire unit within our branch that focuses on reviewing the financial statements, as well as pulling together information on reports of earmarked funds as well as subsidies that are allocated to our university. With regard to the universities in Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape and the establishment, the task team's brief is to look at the kinds of governance arrangements, financial implications, as well as the kind of post-school institutions that are required. We have indicated that additional funds are part of the current allocation. A special bid will have to be made to Treasury if one is to see this through. And so the top team report is quite important in informing the bid process. It is to quantify the amount required for our current institutions. Both our institutions have reported increased, our national institutes at both provinces have reported increased in student numbers. And there is constant monitoring of our two national institutes that are currently operating in these two provinces.
The other thing,
The current census is that with the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, because loans are made to students and not to institutions, so a loan agreement has to be signed between the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and the student. What we have done, taking into account the historic pattern of unspent funds, is to monitor more closely, as well as advise the National Student Financial Aid on shifting funds between categories in order to ensure that there is more take-up and quicker take-up at our institutions of the funds that are allocated to them. So for example, if an institution has funds against teacher education or disability grants, etc., and there was uncertain whether it could be rechanneled to assist other students. So there's been quite a strong close monitoring process, and we expect to report an improvement on this matter quite soon. With regards to the chairperson's question, our data is always 2 years later, and throughput rates and success rates of our institutions vary from institution to institution, and it is quite difficult to predict what the outcome at the end of this year will be, as we would only have an indication of that in the middle of next year. But what we have done is to try and strengthen our reporting mechanisms in terms of the earmark funds that are allocated to institutions, as well as to point out to institutions where success rates and throughput rates are at variance with national norms and standards. But there is a strong attempt, but the problem is that exams are written at the end of December. There are supplementary exams which are written in January, February, March of the following year. So it's quite difficult to get a figure for the end of this academic year within this academic year.
Thank
you, Jesus, and for the opportunity to just quickly add. I think that one of the things that is useful to your strategic discussion with the committee about is the particular role of the department. In the sense that the question that we need to be asking much more often of ourselves and you of us is that the department doesn't directly offer any of the services that concern this committee. And the question must be, what can the department do to steer the institution so that they achieve the objectives that are concerned of the committee? So we need to understand that institutions have capacities, they have very divergent needs, and what specifically can do to get the institution so that they, which goes to the question of our steering mechanisms. How can we use funding? How can we use policy? How can we use legislation to get institutions to address these questions? So what are the steering mechanisms that we can use to increase quality across the system? And I think that's the question that we need to discuss. I want to link that to the question that was asked by a member from Coke, when she indicated, do we have a research organ in the department? So we don't have a research organ in the department, and I think nor should we. But I think we have to use the resources that we have to orientate the research capacity that exists within our institutions, whether it's the universities, whether it's a CHE SALPA, to be part of answering questions. I think that it's where we have work that needs to be researched in addition to the normal work that we do of monitoring and evaluation and managing databases. It's actually much more preferable that be outsourced. Some of the public agencies, such as the Council for Higher Education and SALPA, do have dedicated research capacity,
and we need to see that as part of the broad capacity within the system. And I think that these first 2 points for me mean that our relationship with stakeholders has to be one that very critically means that we work together with our partners, because we can achieve nothing without that. Here's Richard, I just want to indicate that we've had many questions about the NHS. And I think members may be aware that the ministerial report of the ministerial committee is going to be released by the minister on the 16th. And I think that we anticipate, as in discussion with previous meetings of the committee, that the committee is going to take an active role in soliciting public views on this matter. The issue of social inclusion, I thought it was a wonderful question, because the member is asking two different things. She was asking really what does it mean to increase access to post-school learning opportunities, and what does it mean for young people who, for reasons of differential ability, have not really been able to achieve at all in basic education? What does it mean for them, if I understand correctly? I want to say this because it's such an important part in understanding the department. One of the things that we like to stress is that it's very important that people understand that this is not a department for post-secondary education, it's for post-school education and training. And why that's an important distinction is that there, as was indicated in an earlier question, large numbers of young people and adults who, for reasons of history, have not completed schooling. And we need within the broad system of education and training to accommodate people who do not yet have the matric equivalent and English year 4 level equivalent. That means that we need to provide opportunities for people who wish to proceed and take an English level 4 qualification to do so. But it also means that within the broad education and training environment, there should be multiple pathways for young people, for example, who are never going to succeed at an NCA level, or to enter into various occupational pathways in which they can both sustain themselves and feel that they are contributing socially and economically. So that's a question that I'm sure the committee might want to engage in more over time. The next question that I do want to come to is the question of institutes of higher education. Both institutes of higher education and research collectively allocated 40 million to continue with the program of offering qualifications in partnership with universities with which they're associated. The best answer to this question is that we believe that the minister is going to be addressing this in his budget statement. But if you allow, I think one of our concerns is that there's a history in this country and in other countries of what is best practice in terms of establishing quality universities. And if we want to establish the best post-school learning institutions, universities in the two provinces, those two provinces deserve that the process is very thorough, very careful, so that those universities must indeed be able to compete with the best universities in the country. And I would be a little bit bold in making a statement and saying that a rapid process of seeing it as just establishing a building can lead us into a situation where we have institutions that are modeled on what happened under apartheid. The institutions were very quickly created across the country in a periphery of councils. And I would say that to this day, my assessment is that it is an analysis of who are the unemployed graduates. Those universities would contribute disproportionately because the currency of the output of universities, which are not thoroughly based on academic standing, good research programs and fortunate teaching, we would in the end be doing a disservice to hastily put in new, for example, better.
I say that with some reserve because I believe this is a political discussion with the minister, and he will leave it in his budget statement. I think that those are all of the questions that have been asked, and that the committee for the interest.
The part of higher education institutions, we have a helpline that we've established within the department where students can check both on the website as well as by phoning the helpline whether institutions are registered or accredited. Secondly, we embarked on a literacy campaign with students at school level to ensure that when they register that they check to see that institutions are registered before they pay fees for these institutions. Thirdly, if any member of the public brings to our attention the fact that an institution is not registered but is currently operating, the three bodies, which are SACWAN, DHE, and the Department of Education, all three take action by writing to the institutions and requiring them to either put in their application to cease offering these programs. In some cases, we have had a question where the Summit of the Qualification Authority, GLC River, have sent legal letters to the institution, and every attempt is made try and bring the institution within the regulatory ambit. We also have a process to look at strengthening the regulatory system right now to ensure that institutions that have two types of qualifications, that is the kind of vocational which fall below NCS level 5 and which does not fall in the university branch, that there's some synergy between the FSC registration process and the university registration process, so that the students or the general public are informed as to the registration status. It is in terms of the law and obligation on the part of all institutions to display their registration certificates. And we've had a major public awareness campaign running in newspapers, on radio, etc., to ensure that students are aware that they should be looking for the registration certificate of the institution.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Just dealing with the issue of the universities. In Northern Cape and Malanga, and I do not think that when the committee suggests that that process needs to be speed up, it therefore means not proper planning and processing. It is not the extremes in this case. What however has happened is there was a task since 2008 on this particular issue. And hence, it is not a new issue, e.g. The president has pronounced itself on the university in Mpumalanga and in the Northern Cape. If we also in the strat plan if one actually looks at the word it's being used, I am concerned that we are starting 3.1 to 2, page 71 will say, to improve access to post-school education. Are we saying post-school education because post-school education is a different option? Can be college, can be SAT, can be any of that. So my advice would be that we should A, not lower the terminology when it comes to a university. But it's the type, obviously. Will it be a university of schools, for example? Just throwing a concept out. Will it be an academic university in its traditional space? That is the debate. And the question, therefore, is the debate one where you would want to see a long-term discussion around this. And I'm going to make an example or two on what I mean by that. So I don't think when we speak urgency, we speak necessarily compromising quality engagement and compromising the long liberty of an institution like that. What type of forces would it be? Those are the type of things that's the debate. Now that brings me to the question that I've asked. I don't think it's good enough that we would be able to say that we would not know, in terms of our own estimates, what is the 2010 outcomes that we want to see as higher education and training when it comes to throughput. Because we know there's going to be deputy director general, we know that it's going to be middle next year, that everything will be rough. Father, that's why the question was, at the end of 2010, meaning that process, all of those processes. But this shows something. Because if it is true that between grade 1 and grade 12, we've lost 58%, and if it is true that we have a 50% not throughput at the university level, we are going to create 11. There's a big problem there. And I'm going to give the example. Now, my concern at this, on this program in particular, is that, and I don't think we're going to get answers today. We don't need, I'm not asking for an answer now. It's a bigger issue here. But if one looks at the presentation, then you look at the strategic plan. Now, let's take, and I want members to open it, let's take page 70. Page 70 on the strategic plan. 7-0. If one says university education, because we know what is our problem, but we also know what was the pronouncement at a political level by the minister. And I don't guess this is synergy between the two, between the policy imperative and the strategic planning imperative. Now, if it is so, then I will understand. If the department has taken a strategic decision because it's new individual and it's a new department, if there's a strategic decision taken, but then we must know to take time out for the next 12 months and not really do anything, but rather to focus on the plan, if that is a strategic decision, please let us know on it. Now let me give the reasoning for this. If you look at activity and at output, including performance indicators, unless the terminology of what performance indicators is all about has changed, it is developed as a consult. It's to assess and review. And so if you go on, page 71 at the end, on output, framework and appropriate model to be found. Propose and consult. If you take page 77, you will see plan to develop a network for higher education institutions. So we plan to develop. We've got a concept and then we go into consultation. Now I don't see outcome. Now if then I thought possibly the strategic plan doesn't cover that. And I went back into your document actually, which is the estimate and problematic document. Now take the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, which is on 317. It gives a strategic overview. Now remember, we are now in this phase. We know what is the urgency, we know what is our problem, we know what is the judgment call from society. Then the service delivery focus on NSFA. It's an open-ended process. It actually doesn't tell us that NSFA, this is the actual service delivery output that we want to see. So I didn't see it in the presentation, I didn't see it in the staff plan, I didn't see it in the big document. For example, service delivery focus in its outreach and advocacy efforts, the scheme used various media. Another key outreach performance platform is career exhibition hosted by universities. But it doesn't deal with the essentials of what the actual outcome on the NSFA will be. So, if the CSQ and Member James have brought up some nasty statements yesterday, but we raised the point about 40 million rand, I think, in that same statement. But 40 million rand, that's the only thing that I would share in that statement in very narrow. But the 40 million rand underspent, say on CSQ as an example, anything else, what therefore becomes the strategic plan in its outcome of the department to intervene at that particular issue? Right? If the assessment was done on the NS fund, that assessment in the context of through the committee, I'm not even speaking the review process, just the obvious issues. If the assessment says there is a lack of synergy between NSFA and the various institutions in terms of the mechanism, what is that performance outcome that we want to see happen? What we are finding here is the line on page 317, the only reference it then says, the minister is awaiting the outcome of the review of the scheme, which will inform policy and strategic direction. So the broader concern that I've got is, as we are planning, what is happening between the now and the then in our implementation? And what I was hoping to find is not the input Deputy Director General, it was also the actual output on the real issues. We know what is the real issues in our society when it comes to higher education, in particular universities. There is the report that the Minister has spoken to on transformation and social cohesion. If you actually take that report with its recommendations, how does that report, which is a very big issue in society currently, led by the minister himself, that made a critical issue. What is the translation of that in the context of the strategic plan? If we are saying that transformation is an issue, not in its narrow sense, but it's in a fundamental sense, not the obvious issue that are transformation, where does that line item come into this perspective of implementation? Now I'm saying that I started off by saying, if there's a strategic decision that we are going to have to just plan this year because it's a new institution that we are creating, we're going to have to give the benefit of it. I'm saying, if that is the tactical and strategic decision, we have to lower our expectations, therefore. Is that what we are hearing? So I'm not looking for answers on the specifics, because I can go line item, line item, and I'm not finding what we're supposed to find. I remember in 94 to 99, we would have been busy with this level of outcome, this level of performance, very vague, very broad, not specific, and not being held accountable to. Now this is a new institution. It's therefore that the department asks us, give us the sign off for 12 months. Let's look at the one or two, three areas that we actually can expect. And then I'm saying we must then know what is those things that the department believes they would want to see real outcomes in this financial year. And then we can say, okay, let's add the following or let's subtract the following. So I thought, let me raise it in that context. I really don't want to get responses from the Deputy Director General because I've got very firm views on actually what I'm picking up here. And possibly it's a strategic question very directly to the Deputy Director General in this regard. And hence I want to say, Chesterton, that I do know we're supposed to give a 12:30. So if there are any additions we need to finish with this particular program, then I think the department will have to reconvene with us next week around the other matters if it's possible. If it's not possible, we're going to have to discuss what we're going to do with the two other substantial programs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Given the history and the power of the student representative council, I need to check with you your relation with this institution. Why is this institution that is not delivered a memorandum which I think is in your possession? If not, tell me. I'll give you what they are saying is that you want to see and bring immediate steps must be taken to introduce to curb the increase of fees in universities, ethics colleges, so that universities and ethics do not increase fees in order to score from an introduction of free education. The other concern they are saying ANC deployees in parliament should remember the ANC followed by the resolution and should implement them. Otherwise, we will call for their recall by the ANC. Now, you see, we have a member stuck as the ANC. That you also communicate with this stuff. It is a warning in advance. Thank you.
Next week, after the next week, Wednesday,
So the question is, I think what we need to discuss is just that process. Because my suggestion was in fact that we reconvene the meeting and that we deal with it. But the secretary is saying that we wouldn't be able to do that. We need to do it. So it's either continue now until 2 o'clock, alternatively, break it, find time here in this discussion on what is the most suitable time, so that we still have until Wednesday to finalize everything and then to submit that to the cameras and then. So that's really, separately, so we should possibly just discuss that process quickly. Because we didn't even come to the skills issue. And if it becomes just and all of those things, it's very, very substantial issue.
Can I propose just that we take a break? And I'm certainly happy to stay in the tour process here because all of the I'm not sure what the outcome is.
Can we be in here for another 20 minutes? From another transaction and also now in the portfolio committee. Is it a political party to me without corner committee? No. That's why I'm trying to say, can political party, you know, think about this and get in the portfolio committee because we have to check. Because there are still implications in what the sector can expect. Because we're still also to vote on this side in the portfolio committee. And I want us to be very clear when we agree on this side, why is this the sector of this? Because we are also going to be hand responsible by the policy. General, as a department, we feel that what we are very responsible for the department. As a department, is also going to account to us as members, to us as families. And well, we should be in a position when the department is coming to us here in front of us, we should be able to say, yes, we know about this. I don't want us to have contact and say we don't know about this budget. This is what you have said to us in the committee.
Can I just give you clear direction here? Yeah? Oh. I'm proposing as a staple two to finish the presentation.
That is the feeling of the house. Do we I was just trying to understand if the house is not sitting at 3 today. It said 3. No. So how about probably taking up to about 1:15 lunch break and then reconvene? Because we start at 3 anyway. Mm-hmm. Just putting it up.
There's a suggestion?
Okay, I suggest that we deal with this matter in conclusion. We can't reconvene again. It will be very inconvenient for us.
Is that what Anil is saying? Because my understanding what he's saying is that there is going to be a meeting at 1 o'clock here and we will not be able to continue in this room after one. Am I right? So that's the technical reality. So the question is, if we are then to proceed, we need to move. And then the secretary needs to, and the support staff needs to go and find a venue. And then we need to reconvene either the hospital one, get the venue, being informed, and then we need to move, continue until quarter 3. That's the only suggestion that we can. So we can't continue after 1 year in any case. So can I suggest? Can we, members, in fact, reconvene at office one? So that they find the venue, put the processes in place, the department must be able to set up, that we then will be in that committee meeting until quarter 3, that we then also ask the secretary to inform Parliament in that process, and that we will get into Parliament in time for the 3 o'clock, also to remember the social class. It is a concern. I think my information is that the minister, A, is not here, so we apologize, and B, that there are questions relating for oral replies, which I don't know if there's no acting minister that will deal with that question.
Just if I can assist, the acting minister is Minister Maseka, and I'm listening carefully to this discussion because I also need to make sure that I'm available to brief her at some point, and that's an unknown for me. I've been indicated through her office because I am available, but I would have to let the office know if the meeting continues.
So that's my suggestion. I don't know. So I think we should just try and get the different venue ASAP, then move in if members can agree on that. Is that fine?
You listen carefully to the DG. I mean, you might be called to advise the minister, and that will come fix the thing here in the meeting. I mean, you'll be obliged to advise the minister. It's not a choice.
My information is that My information is that questions for oral replies, specifically for higher education and training, definitely from the questions that I've posed, is not to appear because the minister is not there. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So possibly there would be the one question then, and it will have to be dealt with. So my view is, let's continue. So if there is an urgent call, that the DG then will just have to step up to that particular 5 minutes or so. Okay. So we will hear from Anele before one by SMS is where the new venue is. Thank you.